Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's move over to the Reiners. 4.5 months after Rob and Michelle Reiner were found stabbed to death in their Brentwood home, an autopsy report on how they died still ain't finished. The case against their son, Nick, has now been pushed to September. And it's not a trial. It's not even the preliminary hearing yet. It's a date to potentially set the preliminary hearing. We're getting like close to a year anniversary where we'll get to the preliminary hearing. The defense says it needs more discovery. The prosecution says it's waiting on the medical examiner. Both sides agreed to the delay because you don't have the information. You don't have the information. And Nick Reiner, the man facing two counts of first degree murder with death penalty eligibility, sat in court, consulted by his public defender, and said one word: yeah. So what is actually happening behind the scenes in this case, and what does the pace of this thing tell us about what both sides are building towards? Joining me to discuss, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis. Eric, if you were Jake or Romy Reiner right now, you lost both parents to violence. The person accused is your own brother, and the court just told you, come back in September, 5 months from now, for a hearing that isn't even a real hearing. This has got to be very, you know, devastating emotionally to the family, because from the outside, it looks like nobody's in a hurry to get justice for Rob and Michelle. And I have to imagine the people who love them are watching this timeline and somewhat losing their minds. But that's the emotional side. Emotional side and legal side are two very different things and require very different framework to operate. But a year in for the preliminary hearing, I mean, is this crazy? Is this normal? Give me your thoughts.
I'm not sure I've ever seen such a delay just to get to the preliminary hearing stage. That's like the second step in a case like this, among like dozens of steps. So, you know, we're not even there yet. This is a nightmare for these folks that won't end. And in terms of what's going on, it's a bit of a head scratcher. Autopsies can take some time. I have seen them take about this amount of time or so. But especially if this was like a very violent death, like a clear stabbing or shooting or whatever, like usually those conclusions can be drawn rather quickly, and the autopsy, the medical examiner can amend their report later if need be. But delay, which might inure to the benefit of the defense.
Sure. I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I get you want to cross your T and dot your I. I know that this is going to be a case that's going to be under a microscope. So you really want to be sure you got everything and you can present it. But the method of death isn't really like even up for question here. It's like, we know he did it. It's more so why he did it. And was he in a state of mind where he could be held legally responsible for understanding he was causing the death of someone at that moment? Are those answers to be found in the physical reflection of an autopsy?
Not at all. No. In fact, most medical examiners expressly opine that, hey, not only can I not conclude who did this, but I can't conclude what was going on in their heads. That's outside the purview of their expertise. They can't talk about that. And also, Tony, with the preliminary hearing coming up, even if there are potential mental health defenses, those are rarely even considered at a preliminary hearing. And when they are, the judge usually says, hey, my job is to decide if there's problems probable cause for these charges. There might be defenses. There might be things that side can raise at trial. But the scope of preliminary hearing is rather narrow. Is there probable cause? We don't need a full mental health evaluation and all these mental health experts. I doubt they'd even be allowed to testify at the preliminary hearing. So what are we waiting for?
Yeah. So I'm curious about this one, Eric. I'm gonna flip from the legal side to the maybe a pragmatic side on the human behavior side. Do you think, since you said it will, if it's gonna benefit anyone, it's gonna benefit defense on this to keep delaying this out? Do you think that, because we keep hearing all the issues they're having with Nick behind bars, and I mean, we're seeing it. He hasn't let go of his victim mentality. He still looks like a super nutter. All these things. Do you think defense might be delaying a bit to try all they can to try to regulate those meds he's on so they can actually potentially, since they know it's going to go to trial unless they plead out, which is another question I have, if you think he's going to do that. But do you think they're trying to make him a more compelling individual by delaying more to try to get those meds regulated out, and the more time they have, the greater chance they have at it? Or is that just, am I just doing too much thought experiment?
That very well could be a part of it. Along those lines, too, there might be some competency issues. And sometimes those are not made public. Sometimes there are private hearings and even meetings in chambers with judges about very sensitive private matters like that. I'm wondering if there might be some ongoing competency issue, because for this guy to be competent and face trial, he has to have an awareness of the charges and he has to be able to materially aid in his own defense. And perhaps defense is saying, hey, we've met with this guy and he's screwed. We're not there yet, but we're not ready to raise competency just yet. Judge, why don't you give us a little more time to work on the meds, to work on the psychological piece of this, and try to get this in a place where it can be tried. It's at least possible that those conversations are being had and the public is unaware of them.
Is that a reason why also the prosecution might go along and agree to the delay too, because they want to make sure there's less chance for appeals after that?
I think that could be a part of it. If there was potential competency issues, prosecution doesn't want to convict somebody when there is a question as to whether they're competent and have that conviction come back. So maybe prosecution's like, hey, defense is working with this guy. They've got a meds regimen and they've got counselors who I'm sure he's seeing. And so we'll let them kind of do their thing to ensure that we can secure a conviction and that it remains final at the appellate stage.
My guess is we figured it out.
Well, I mean, give me some insight here on how the sausage is made. I mean, if this is a red herring to the public and we're like, this is the cover story, this is what we're telling the public right now, why not just say there's competency issues right now and we're going to, we need some time to get there. We've seen it in Daybell. We've seen it in a gazillion cases where it's not like, oh, they're kind of out of it right now. Game over. It's like, no, we're going to give him a chance to kind of get back on the saddle here so they can be competent in court. Why not just explain it that way? I mean, is it ethical? Is it even legal to delay the hearing here under a publicly stated false pretense? Does this happen behind the scenes where everybody back in the judges' chambers are on the same page of this is competency, but yeah, we don't have the autopsy yet, so let's just say it's that to the media. Does that happen?
It would be very unusual. But this is a very unusual case. You know, we were just talking about Koberger recently, where a public defender had one of their experts sign an NDA regarding that expert work, apparently. That is extremely uncommon, but the world's eyes were on that case. The world's eyes are on this case.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, and judges have discretion often to control the proceedings, to maintain decorum and integrity of the judicial institution. And there are things that happen what's called under seal. There are things that happen that are just not publicly available. So it's possible. But if defense really did think that their client had competency issues, usually you have an ethical duty to raise that. And then there's a whole sort of parallel competency procedure that you have to go through. So, I would say certainly unusual. It's an unusual case.
But again, it could be possible that, you know, it's a legitimate claim about the medical examiner's report, But since they're seeing, you know, so they can be slow walking that, knowing that the next issue they may have is a competency issue, buying time just because they think it might be an issue. I mean, just listening to Nick makes me think it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and you know, Robin, I can understand the prosecutor really wanting to have that autopsy report by the time of the preliminary hearing. That is usually a critical piece of a preliminary hearing, and they probably just want to make sure that they have all of this ready to roll, so there are no missteps, there are no outs. That could be a piece of this delay as well.
And he's behind bars anyway. You know, it's one of these things. He's not on the loose. He's not on bail. And he's suffering behind bars. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of strange.
When is the time for the defense of Nick Reiner to queue up the not guilty by reason of insanity plea? Because right now it's just sitting as not guilty. Under California law, you have to do two pleas. You have to do not guilty and not guilty by reason of insanity, two different filings. But they only got the one. Is that something that they are literally waiting for the pretrial hearing to bring that up? Is there a reason to wait for that? Is it more strategic on their part to wait for that rather than throwing that into the ether before the autopsy comes out?
In most jurisdictions, Tony, there is the courts want people to raise issues like not guilty of reason of insanity promptly. It's not something you could just sit on and then like do a trial by ambush thing a few weeks before the trial. Like, oh, actually, you know what? He's not guilty by reason of insanity. Now prosecution catch up. Usually you have to raise that quickly, just as you have to do with alibi in most jurisdictions. It's not something you can just sit on and wait. So it's a bit unusual that they haven't raised it yet. I'm sure they have done at least an initial mental health evaluation. And usually that initial evaluation can tell a defense attorney, hey, we have a viable NGRI plea or we don't. Unclear why they wouldn't be in a position to raise that defense if they're going to raise it.
When do you see the deadline for them being able to do that?
It varies by jurisdiction, but you know, I think in Colorado it says something like as early as practicable. And so, you know, if you've had the mental health evaluation and you have grounds to believe you're going to raise a not guilty by reason of insanity defense, you got to do it. There isn't always a hard and fast deadline. Varies by jurisdiction, but it's usually the it's customary to have to do that early on, man. You can't just sit on
that. Yeah, is that another reason to delay right now using the medical examiner's excuse to do that so they could get more time to get that in? I'm just kind of stabbing at the
wall. I think they've had enough time.
You would think.
You know, in cases where I've explored that, we did that within the first, you know, month and a half after the incident. And here we're going on months and months and months. I just don't see a reason why they haven't raised it yet if they believe that it's a valid defense.
I just keep going back to what the hell is taking nearly a year for an autopsy to be performed? I mean, is there that much of a backlog and it doesn't really matter who you are or what's pending? We're just got to, I mean, they got the bodies. This is done. I mean, what more can possibly be needed to have extra time to complete this report? This just doesn't make any logical sense to me. Is there anyone in this case, defense or prosecution, that could somehow put a wedge into this that would be delaying that report in some way, shape, or I don't know the answer to this question, but it just it's a red flag. It doesn't make any sense to me. And when you see a red flag in something kind of critical as an autopsy, you're like, what the hell is going on here? Why is it? Rather than just accepting, oh, they're slow.
Yeah, no, it's a head scratcher, you know, look at the case of Barry Morphy, right? So Suzanne Morphy, yeah, his wife and the alleged victim in the case, her body wasn't found until at least a year after she disappeared. Yeah. It was all decomposed and the elements had gotten to it. You know, and so that's in that case where they had to like go into her bones and try to find this extremely esoteric poison that they claim they found. That's going to take a good amount of time. But when you have a rather traditional means of death that these coroners have experienced, I imagine, hundreds of times, what would be the hangup? Why can't you just issue the autopsy report with the apparent findings? I just don't get it. I don't. Has there been turnover in the office? Has it? I just don't know. It's strange.
I'm curious. Did they get Celeste? You know, in the David case, did they get her autopsy? And she was like severely decomposed in a bag. What? I think they got hers faster than this. I mean, she was a puddle in a bag in a frunk.
It might be the same folks, honestly.
I know. Maybe it took too long doing hers.
I don't know.
Good point.
And because so what are they? I mean, what takes so long in this autopsy? I mean, it's not. I mean, it's a. I mean, it's gunshots. I mean, just what the hell? I don't get it.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's a big question, and I think one that deserves an answer. Maybe some more digging there might be a good idea. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to weigh in. The links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.